And it's time for Brewocracy Now, our weekly talk with John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager, who has a guest with him today. Hi, John.
Hey, Tim. How are you?
Fine. We are. I'm not surprised that you're cutting it close today. When I look at everything that is on the city's plate going on recently and upcoming, So I'm glad you made it.
Well, thank you. I just needed a computer reboot, so thanks for hanging in there. And I guess maybe a good time to introduce our new city engineer, although not new to the city, Laura Parsons, who's joining me today. I was really excited, Tim, when you asked a question that I couldn't answer, which is not uncommon, but you were, I think, recalling the local road safety plan, which Laura was integral to putting together. And I thought, well, let's talk about that this time. So welcome, Laura Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation to be here. Happy to be here.
Welcome, Laura. And just for clarity, I have normally found that Mr. Morrow has an answer for every question, but on that one, I'm glad that he invited you.
There's a degree of comfort, Tim, having an engineer in the room, because there's no like discerning fact from fiction. It's Laura is comfortable with numbers and physics and things that are very certain and grounds us. And it's also really fun for me to have city staff on here, because we're who run the city and make sure that people get the services they depend on.
I'm very nice to have you. And I think that the genesis for this was the traffic safety plan, which I found interesting and intriguing. And as John and I both discussed earlier, because we both are fond of maps, but it was nice to see this representation. And I'm sure there is a lot more about that you would like to tell us about.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Yeah, so the local road safety plan is a document that we put together as a supporting piece of information that we'll be using to apply for a grant called the HSIP grant, a highway safety improvement grant that we'll be applying for. And the local road safety plan, it looks at crash data from 2016 through 2020 in Port Townsend. So yes, it was very interesting for us too to have this document put together and get to see where we have some vulnerabilities in our transportation network.
And did you discern vulnerabilities from that document?
Our major collectors and arterials are a place that we need to focus on for future road improvements that would, you know, provide more safety for our, again, vulnerable users like bicycles and pedestrians. Yes.
Yeah, it was. Yes.
Well, I was just going to say, I cannot help at least flagging this for perhaps discussion later, because we, you know, we could talk about this report probably for a very long time. But there's a connection here between my first debut on Discovery Road, your KPTZ show, and Discovery Road. And Laura is also leading up the efforts to do some pretty significant changes to Discovery Road starting construction this year. So we could wander into that territory as well if we want to get off this current road.
Perfect. That's something that's close to my heart. It's something that I travel at least a couple times every day. So it's all yours.
All right. So Discovery Road project. Yeah, we can talk about that one too. So yes, we're in the midst of design. We're at 90% design on the project, and it's shaping up to be just such a great project. And there's all sorts of new infrastructure improvements that will be put in place to improve safety along that corridor. There'll be some raised crossings, and there'll be a two-way bikeway on the south side of the street, sidewalks on both sides of the street. It's going to be, just still have a really different feel when the construction's done, and I think for the better.
And somebody listening might say, but dear city engineer, that sounds really expensive for a small town. How much do we have to shell out to pay for such an important project? And I'd be curious what your response would be.
Oh, thanks, John. We're so fortunate in that we have multiple grants that are able to cover a large portion of the cost of this project. So the project as a whole total is $5.5 million. And yeah, there are several grants we got, and the most recent one was from the Transportation Improvement Board in 2020 for the project, and that was, you know, $2.3 million grant, yeah.
So I guess I sorry to sort of take an opportunity here, but I guess to
tell
the story about not only just really good engineering and design work, but our small team has to be very scrappy about finding funding. And that's why this local road safety plan is also important, as Laura is saying, because it helps us actually receive some of that funding. So I just wanted people to understand we take a pretty strategic approach to doing a lot more because we can attract federal and state funding for transportation.
Yeah, every time we apply for a grant is a big staff effort, but the team really pulls together. And yeah, we've been really fortunate in receiving some substantial grants. So yeah, I'm grateful to my coworkers for helping make all that happen.
And I would imagine that roads are a big part of your job. I certainly know that our road condition is high in the consciousness of many people that live here. And one of the first things I think that John Morrow and I talked about was funding and the uniqueness of Port Townsend in that we have such a lot of roads supported by the population that we have here. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Can you reiterate the question?
Well, and this could be for Mr. Morrow or for yourself. The condition of our roads, and we'd spoken about this earlier, that there are somewhere around 100 miles of road here in Port Townsend to be maintained, and that's just a huge job. And so I imagine that finding funding for these projects is very important, because it does not appear that the funding stream is sufficient for that many roads and that much infrastructure.
Yeah, there's a lot of work ahead of us, but it's not an impossible task, I like to think. John answer more on that. Yeah.
Oh, no, I mean, I think Laura's got a firmer understanding on this than I do, just the mechanics. I mean, it's basic, in a way, it's basic geometry. The further you build out infrastructure for the same number of people, the more expensive it gets just in, pipes, roads, streets, and the maintenance of all that. So, we've seen historically as a nation, actually, our communities sprawling outward. And that has a devastating cost to everybody. And the city picks up the bill for the maintenance and operation and construction for a lot of it. But we're trying to make, as many intelligent decisions as we can, so that we not only build the right kind of infrastructure, but we do so in the right place so that we can actually get more efficiency out of that. And I mean, I won't name Owen Rowe by name, but I was talking to one of our council members this morning about this very thing. And I'm really grateful to work with Council Member Rowe and his colleagues on the city council who seem very united in their efforts to think through the impacts of sprawl and how to create a walkable, livable, vibrant community. And that really, it's on the ground. It's the work that Laura and her team do to improve our existing infrastructure, make investments so that we're getting the most out of our very aged infrastructure. There are many things that need to be replaced. That's very well understood. We need to do so deliberately because we can't possibly afford a full retrofit.
Is this an appropriate time to wade into Madrona Ridge as we talk about infrastructure and development and really what goes into the planning for a 167 houses in Port Townsend? This must be something that I would imagine you and your staff will be preoccupied for quite a long time, a big project.
Yeah, that's right, Tim. I mean, I guess on the ground, I mean, Laura, I invite any thoughts you have about the team and working through the project. I think there's some bigger picture questions I've been getting, both here, Tim, from you and from people who send in questions about the compatibility of that with our town. And again, it brings me back to a common theme I like to put out there of, you know, there are some things we might need to change in the code and the zoning that you know, reflect our identity as a community and what our needs are. And, you know, our job is not to assess each project on whether we like it or not. Our job is to assess the project on whether or not it meets those codes and development regulations. And you know, Madrona does. You know, I also hear, and I'm not trying to take a negative bent here, but I hear a lot of, you know, but we need affordable housing, or we need, I mean, my easy answer is we need it all. You know, we need market rate housing for people who can afford it. We need workforce, affordable, transition, emergency. We have a pressing need pretty much at every part of the housing spectrum. And so, you know, Madrona Ridge project is not going to solve the housing crisis in Port Townsend, but it certainly takes a heat off those who are able to afford market rate. But Laura, I don't know if you've got thoughts about the mechanics of that construction and actually how much goes into the review and development review and, you know, and projects of that scale.
Yes, every element, you know, of a development of that scale needs to be examined carefully. And so it's a collaborative effort in this review point of the project to, you know, work with our development services co-workers. And we're looking at stormwater. We're looking at non-motorized elements of the development and the layout of the houses in relation to the roads and the driveways or alleys next to the houses. There's many different pieces to look at. Yeah, water, sewer, you know, yeah.
Just little things like that, roads, water, sewer, infrastructure, storm drainage. There will be some work ahead for all of our city staff.
Yes.
Well, on another subject, it's been a bit encouraging. I'm not going to be over optimistic about any way that COVID can go, but there have been a few announcements lately that have made me feel pretty good. One of them being the Thing concert is coming back to Fort Worden. And I imagine any project of that size, the last time we had that was 2019. And that may have been Mr. Morrow before you came. Was that, is that right?
It was devastating because I just assumed that it would be on the next year. And I was going back from what was probably the most lovely set of interviews and panels and community engagement. I mean, I think I might've been the last one to leave the community center during the candidate interviews with the community. It was so much fun. And I still remember some of those specific interactions. You know, I thought, okay, I'm going back to New Zealand, but I'll be back and I won't be in time for Thing, which is around my birthday week, by the way. But I'll be back for 2020, you know, we'll make it work then. And of course we know what's happened since. So I was elated and I was, I mean, I had my ear to the ground on this a while ago. And so it's not a huge surprise, but, I also bumped into an old roommate of mine when I was living in Seattle in my early 20s, and his brother happens to be, a drummer for a very famous band. And he said, "Hey, are you going to Thing?" And I went, "I guess I am now." So it was nice to have that confirmed.
Yes, it is. And Adam Zack of the Seattle Theater Group will be on Discovery Road with me next Thursday. The announcement of the lineup and all the particulars will be on Tuesday, the 22nd. So we're all waiting. I know I am. It is a music and an arts festival. I'm sure that John Morrow will be out there with his daughter, who last time I asked for a music playlist, I think your daughter had a hand in your selection. So I'm sure
She's in the French Cafe Jazz now, but she was kind of rocking it at the time. So she swings around like I do. Very eclectic musical taste.
Boy, I need a substitute on Discovery Road. French Cafe is sounding pretty good, but anything of this magnitude that happens, we have a state park that's entirely within the boundaries of Port Townsend, which is, I suppose that happens, but it's still, I think, a little bit unusual. So it affects you, it affects your staff. There's work to be done to pull that off. There's work to be done for the Roadie Parade, which the announcement is that is back on, and this may also be your daughter's first roadie parade, am I right?
Yeah, I think it'll be the second. I would like to count this past year maybe as roadie parade. It was a, you know, kind of an almost there. So and the previous year, the cake picnic did go around in the Cadillac, and There was at least a touch point in the community. So shout out to Danny and the team for being so versatile over the years of the pandemic. But yeah, we're ready for it to come back. And I've got this permagrin on my face. If you can't, you know, you can't see it if you're listening to the radio. These are the kinds of things, you know, not alone, but these are the kinds of things that make Port Townsend such a unique and awesome place. And frankly, after 2.5 years of this kind of, you know, pain, this is what we've all been waiting for, is let's get back together and celebrate our arts and culture and actually do something positive together. And speaking of which, I mean, Fort Worden had a pretty historic week themselves. You know, the PDA a couple of weeks ago had the whole State Parks Commission join for their annual meeting. Mayor Faber and I got to address them briefly. The partners have been doing great work. And then the hospitality arm is now fully transitioned and off and running. And you know, that's a success story that had 1,000 dead ends, and somehow they managed to thread the needle. So the very, you know, kind of vitality and continuity of the Fort Worden group, the PDA, the state parks, the city, the partners, is kind of a Herculean task that, you know, work to be done, but it's looking a lot brighter.
It is looking brighter, and it is one of the wonderful things. And we spoke with Ben Thomas a couple of weeks ago, and he was on the Committee for Culture, which I thought was a wonderful job for him. And I'm glad to see these things. And I'm being cautiously optimistic, as everyone else is. But, you know, I love a parade. I turned into a 12-year-old boy, and all work and no play makes to me a dull boy, you know. So the roadie parade, the thing, I'm feeling good about it. And you know, we think about sewers and infrastructure. This never goes away.
Well, you've got the two items we just talked about with Laura are on the city council agenda. We've got a highway safety improvement grant going to council for, because they do a lot of work too. You know, they have to review and authorize that. And we've got some dedication of wetlands on Madrona Ridge coming to city council on Tuesday, because Monday's a holiday. And just like the council is, you know, receiving a high volume of all these, you know, decisions, same with the staff. I mean, we're hopefully able to see each other at Thing, Tim, and you know, be 12-year-old boys and be excited and happy and run around. But, you know, behind the scenes, there's a public safety team and police team that's thinking about, you know, public safety and the public works team thinking about traffic flows, and there's, you know, utilities, and there's a ton of coordination that happens behind the scenes. And without, you know, frankly, without the city team, that's often unsung as heroes, you know, making sure that there's a foundation for all of this to happen on, it wouldn't. So a big shout out to Laura and her team in public works who really get that stuff done.
Yes.
Thank you.
Really, it's quite a job. Speaking of things going on in the background, the Intergovernmental Collaborative Group is back on 5 p.m. today. Anyone can join in on this. The link, I just checked it, was on the Jefferson County website to join in, and the agenda, which I unfortunately could not get to work. But for those of you that don't know, this is a meeting where our many of our elected officials, including the city, the county, the PUD, the port, get together and discuss things. What are those things, John, today?
Well, you can, so our lovely and just astoundingly collaborative partner, the county, you can find it on their website. You could also find it on the city website too, the agenda. So if that didn't work for you. And there's a theme for this meeting tonight from 5 to 7. And the theme is really economic development. It's something that we've started working on as a group of, you know, all 16 elected members from those four agencies come together as part of this group. And, you know, maybe I should probably stop blowing the trumpet here, but I mean, it won a national award for how it came together and galvanized community input on a COVID recovery plan. And I mean, dozens, perhaps hundreds of community members stepped up to the plate and actually contributed to that. So, you know, there's a lot of momentum here. And, you know, the economic development side of this things is at least in my mind, bigger than what most people think of at economic development. And it is about our natural landscape, our cultural heritage, the whole thing. What happened in the middle of that conversation at the ICG was the agencies came together and did a reboot of EDC Team Jefferson. And so there's a new executive director, Cindy Brooks, who will be here this evening on that meeting, presenting about the framework and giving her report on their work the last quarter. There'll be a discussion about an economic development framework that the group has pulled together. And then I'm actually, aside from the jurisdiction reports, which I think are always fun to hear what agencies are up to, there's a discussion on federal funding. And I'm particularly excited about this one because, you know, there's a lot of unknowns in the federal landscape right now and a lot of bills like Build Back Better that didn't make it through. But there's a lot of federal resources being thrown at local jurisdictions right now. And if we're savvy and coordinated, we might receive some of that funding. And to Laura's point earlier, that's how we're rebuilding Discovery Road and doing the pedestrian and bike project there. So if we're coordinated and the discussion tonight is meant to do that, we'll know what our infrastructure priorities are, how we can work together on advancing them. And when some of the federal decision-making is complete, because some of it's still ongoing, we don't know, might not know until the fall for some of these sources, we'll be ready to line up and hopefully compete for that funding. So I'm really looking forward to that particular piece of the agenda this evening.
I am too. And John Morrow, I'm sure that you'll be at the front of that line in that lineup. scooping up whatever we can get for Port Townsend, because, you know, as much as we may not admit it, it is important to us to keep these things. And Laura Parsons, I'm sure, knows much more about this than I can even imagine. But yes.
That's why she's our city engineer. She knows her stuff. But you're right, Tim. We're you know, if we all had to fork over our contribution to build that road and cycle and walking facility, you know, just quickly divide $5 million by 9,000 people. That's all, you know, man, woman, child here. You know, that becomes an extraordinary tax burden locally. And so if we're not savvy about how we attract state and federal funding, we will either not have the projects or we will have to pay an extraordinary amount of money for them. And I realize some people are very pressured and stressed right now with the affordability of almost anything. So that kind of scrappiness is going to be beneficial for us all.
Yes. Well, we are towards the end of Brewocracy now. And if you just join us, this is John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager, joined by City Engineer Laura Parsons. I hope I have that right. Parson or Parsons?
Parsons with an S on the end.
Parsons with an S on the end.
That's okay. I'm used to both.
and it was so nice to have you. You're very cheerful. It's so nice to have you with us on Brewocracy Now. And it's very valuable to have a city engineer that can speak directly to what's going on in this city from somebody that's right in the middle of it all the time. And John Morrow, thank you so much. We'll wrap it up. And be back next week with more of Brewocracy Now on KPTZ in Port Townsend.
Good to see you, Tim. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you both. Bye.
A bad impression as to what went really wrong when what it was it suddenly...
Well, stay tuned to your community radio station, KPTZ in Port Townsend. Welcoming back, if I'm... to believe what my schedule says here, welcoming back Dick Keenan live on Vinyl Dialogue. So I hope that's true. I have to assume that it is. Thank you for joining us. See you next Thursday.